Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Something about fall and springtime just kind of brings stuff out. I had three or four requests for us to do the service outside today, but we won't do that this week. So this is week three of our four-week series, my four-week series on everyday spirituality. Now, I feel that it's important for us to realize that spirituality doesn't mean we have to live on a mountaintop and wear a loincloth and eat bugs and all that, the old John the Baptist kind of idea. We don't have to go to church on a certain day. We don't have to say a certain prayer in a certain language or belong to any particular religion. In fact, whether we realize it or not, if we are alive, we are living a spiritual life. We really can't do anything else because we are, at our core, spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe. That's what underlies all this physical stuff that we see everywhere around us, all right? But we need to get past the idea that some people have, the confusion that a lot of people have, especially people who claim to be religious, about what being spiritual is supposed to mean. You see, let me address a few of the things in the confusion. Contrary to what some people believe, being spiritual does not mean that this experience that we call life, this physical material world that we're all dwelling in, it doesn't mean it isn't real. It doesn't mean that this is just a dream or an illusion or a waiting room for whatever comes after or a place for God to test us. It doesn't mean any of that. This physical life is as real as it gets. In my definition, if we are truly spiritual, it has to mean that we are living this life and having this physical experience in such a way that we are living in perfect harmony with that greater idea of life that exists before, during, and after our time here on the planet. And that greater idea we are living in harmony with is, of course, what we call God. That's what it is. That's what being spiritual is. So being spiritual also has to mean that we are learning all of the important lessons that we are here to learn and that we're practicing the things that we can only practice here in a physical world. So this includes things like learning how to love, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, all those different ways, and learning how to laugh and to communicate and connect with people, and learning how to create and how to manifest. How to create what? How to create everything. How to create health, wealth, perfect body, love, passion, all these different things. And to create these things in ways that are interesting and exciting and fulfilling for us at the deepest level that we can feel. That's what practical spirituality means, all right? So that means that it has to be something that we can all do and something that we can all enjoy and something that makes perfect sense. In other words, being spiritual has to be practical and it has to be useful because why else would we do it? Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about focusing our attention on the things we do well in life instead of worrying about the things that we don't do as well. I talked about zeroing in on our own unique talents and strengths and focusing on the things that we truly love to do. You see, there's a divine wisdom within us that knows what these things are, and it wants to express them. So our job as physical beings in the spiritual universe is to allow it to do just that. And then last week, I talked about the fact that most of us seem to make life a lot more difficult than it needs to be. We ignore the truth when it's right in front of us. We look for shortcuts, and we end up getting lost. Some people, probably none of you in this room because you're all enlightened, but people outside this room, some people spend half their life messing things up and the other half trying to clean up the stuff they messed up. All right? I know a lot of people. I'm related to a number of them, as a matter of fact. So what most of us really need to do is to simplify our thinking. Simplify our thinking. Now, why is this important for us to understand from a spiritual perspective? Because if we are spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe in physical form, then being spiritual ought to be the simplest, easiest, natural, most natural thing in the world. I once heard somebody put it this way. I loved it when I read it, and it'll take a second to sink in. But it was a guy who was a regular spiritual teacher. It might have been Wayne Dyer or one of those guys. But he said, "Sometimes I'm searching so hard for some great spiritual revelation that will tell me how to handle some crisis in my life when all I really need is a sandwich and a nap." Okay? Now, that may be a little too simplistic, but, you know, he made a good point. Knowing how to live well is not a big secret. Nobody's hiding it from us. We know what we need to be doing to feel a deeper connection with Spirit, with God. We all know it. We may not do it, but we know what it is. We know how we should treat other people. We know how we should think of ourselves. We just find all sorts of reasons, i.e. excuses, not to do it. But if we could only get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits, as Emerson said, one of my favorite quotes, a lot of the complications created by our own crazy thinking would probably disappear virtually overnight. Now, next week, this is a commercial. Don't fast forward through it, okay? Next week, when I finish this series, when I wrap it all up, I'm going to talk about some things we can do, practical spiritual things we can do when the whole world seems to be against us. When we think we're doing everything right and nothing seems to change and it's all bad, all right? But today, I want to spend some time on something that's always been a challenge for me in my own life. This is actually my favorite part of this four-part series. Now, I don't do this as much as I used to do it, but I want to talk about this mental and emotional roller coaster ride that so many of us are on, all right? Now, as far as life is concerned, for a lot of people, they are just along for the ride. It's sort of like metaphysical manic depression, okay? We're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. Anybody identify with this? Okay, good. We all do. But we are up or we are down based on how our love life is going, how our job is going, how the stock market is going, how our health is going, all these different kinds of things. When it comes to the spiritual part of our life, I think some people practice the presence of God like they got a daisy in their hand. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. My life is good, my life is bad. My life is good, my life is bad. Okay, one day we're on top of the world, the next day we're at the bottom of the pit. So that's why today I'm going to talk about the ups, the downs, and the in-betweens. Okay, that's the title. Now, I think this is an extremely important and practical spiritual concept because this is one of the main reasons, this area, where we find it so difficult, why we find it so difficult to focus our mind and our heart where they should be focused, which is on living a balanced and peaceful life that we ourselves are actually choosing. Dr. Holmes tells us over and over again in all his writings, including in The Science of Mind, as did Jesus and the Buddha and Gandhi and all those other great spiritual people who seem to have their act together, they tell us over and over that we are co-creators with God of our experience. How many people have heard me or David say that at least once, okay? We are co-creators with God of our experience. So us and God, we're sort of like Siamese twins, okay? We can't do anything without each other. So we, this physical part of us, provides the energy in our life, and we provide the direction that we want our life to go, putting into consciousness what we want and how strongly we want it, those two things, and God, as the law, provides the planning, the expertise, and the opportunities so that we can create whatever it is we decide to create. That's how the process works, all right? However, the most important thing for us to know about this creative process is that we make our decisions one of two ways. We make our decisions consciously, or we make them unconsciously. Okay? We make our decisions either on beliefs that we have consciously and deliberately chosen, or we make our decisions based on beliefs that we don't even know we have. That's the unconscious part. We may have chosen the experience that we're having, good or bad, deliberately, from a place of joy and excitement and spiritual awareness. That's when all the good stuff usually shows up. Or we may have chosen whatever experience we're having, up or down, by default. And by default, I mean, we may be providing our direction, that is our part of the creative process. We may be providing our creative input reflexively, as a reflex, okay? Without any conscious thought coming from a place of fear or confusion or from a victim mentality. And that's when a lot of the crazy, negative, difficult, and depressing stuff shows up. In either case, when we create something, once again, either consciously or unconsciously, once the smoke clears and whatever it is that is in our consciousness has now become real and physical in our life, that's the interaction between the spiritual and the physical, that's when most of us look around at what's showing up in our life and we say one of two things. We either say, hey, this is nice. I kind of like this relationship. I like the person I have ended up with. I like the body that I've kind of created for myself. I like the job that I've created. I like my bank account. I like all that stuff. Not bad. Or we look around in shock and we say, how the hell did this happen? Okay? Or why is this terrible thing happening to me? That's how I hear it more frequently. Now, these are the kind of experiences that we're talking about, what I call the good and the not so good, the ups and downs in life. And all of us have had our share because we're all playing this game called life. We have all experienced success and failure in different areas in our life. We've all experienced good and bad and happy and sad. And most of us prefer the ups to the downs. I'm assuming you're not masochists, so you agree with me. Most of it, how many people prefer being up here rather than down here? Several. Okay, good. Now, we do everything we can because we prefer the tops to the bottoms. We do everything we can to stay on top and everything we can to avoid being down in the trenches. The problem is, in the physical world that we live in, things keep changing. Have you noticed that? Things keep changing, okay? Which is really kind of a shame because it would actually be so much easier if we could get every part of our life right where we wanted and then forget about it completely knowing that it's going to stay that way. Wouldn't that be nice? Nice and easy, you know, if our job ran smoothly all the time, no arguments, no conflicts, constant promotions and raises, and the company never closed and everything worked. If our relationships were all comfy and cozy and snuggly and all that, no arguments, no conflicts, none of those things. If our stock portfolios went up and up and up and never went down, wouldn't that be nice? And we wouldn't even have to think about it. But for some reason, and it must be a divinely inspired or created reason, life doesn't seem to want to work that way. It just doesn't. It moves in cycles. It moves up and down like waves on the ocean. Sometimes we're up here on top of the waves. Sometimes we're down here in the trough and nothing seems to be going right. But most of the time, if you think about it, we're not at the top and we're not at the bottom. We are somewhere in between. Now, here's the reason I bring this up. There is a particular aspect of our thinking that I have observed related to these different cycles in our life, and it has a dramatic effect on the way we participate in the creative process. You see, instead of focusing our energy and our attention on this in-between area where we spend most of our time, we are obsessed with the extremes, okay, with the highs and the lows. And this obsession can show up in a number of different and dysfunctional ways. Now, sometimes we allow ourselves, our mind, to grab onto the high points and we hold on for dear life. Everybody know what that feels like? We just hold on to this person if things are going really well, if we feel great and work is good and the money's flowing and our love life is perfect. We assume, or at least we hope, that it's always going to be that way. So we just hang on to it as much as we can. And from one perspective, that kind of thinking actually seems to make perfect sense. Because after all, we created this wonderful life when we're up on the top, or we co-created it, to be more precise. So when things are going good, sometimes it seems like we finally broke the code. You know, we finally figured it out. No more problems. I got it. I must be enlightened, and now I can tell everybody else how to live. All right? Now, I cannot tell you how many people, but it is in the 30s, 40s, 50 people at least, through the 30 years I've been in this teaching, probably a lot more than that, who have a real good job and good money coming in, or they have a good relationship, and they're coming here and they talk in class about, oh no, I got that. Yeah, I created this. I figured this. I figured all that. And then something happens. All of a sudden, the job changes. The money starts to dry up a little bit for whatever reason that they created in consciousness, or the relationship goes away. And you know what happens when that happens to them? They disappear. I never see them again. Because when things around them are good, they figure, I created that. But when they're bad, they say, this stuff doesn't work. That's the mentality. Okay? Now, the problem with this way of thinking, and it's very important for us to understand, is that when we think this way, we are looking outside of ourselves and using what we have created out there in the physical world to measure how well our inner life is going. You get it? What this is? Okay? And the danger comes in the way we respond when things change, which they always do. You see, if we measure our level of happiness or success or our mental and spiritual potential to create based only on what we see outside of us, then when the economy takes a dip or takes a turn, when our stocks go down, when the job or the relationship starts to get a little shaky, we may start to feel like it's all falling apart and that we're losing control and there's nothing we can do. And that's when we get desperate. That's when we start to panic. That's when our thinking starts to get skewed. Okay, I love that word. Our thinking starts to go off. Instead of seeing what's happening around us as simply a shifting flow of energy that we're perfectly capable of adapting to, we see it as losing something that was rightfully ours. Or we may even feel, some people, that God is taking something away from us or that we're being punished. Now, in the same way, another thing that sometimes happens, when things are going badly and have been going badly for a long time, like you're out of work and you haven't been able to find a job or whatever it happens to be, we have a tendency to look outside of us and get caught up in the illusion, in the false belief that things are never going to get any better. Sometimes we do that. Maybe we start to believe that good things don't happen to people like us, or that there's nothing we can do to change what's happening because we've already made a mess of things and there's, you know, we're stuck here. And if things get really, really bad, and I've seen this happen, we may be afraid to do anything because we might make it worse. We might even make it worse. These are all fear-based ideas that we fall into, and they can be very, very powerful if we allow them to be. They can sabotage the creative process. Now, we all know what this feels like when we're in that kind of up and down, that cycle, when it's sort of an emotional yo-yo. First you're up, then you're down, going up and down based on other people's behaviors, based on the economy, or based on things outside of us. This is not only a very powerless place to be, it can also be, and this is the hard part, it can also be very difficult to shift our thinking so we can get out of it. It's like you're stuck in it, like depression, that kind of a thing. Now, there's a very simple reason why this is so, and that is because when we get caught up in this kind of mental and emotional cycle, we are reacting instead of creating. We are reacting to what's out there instead of creating from in here. And when I was writing that, I looked at it and I went, you know, the words create and react only have, you just move the C and it's the same word. Very, very interesting, okay? And reacting to a constantly changing world is a very unstable and unfulfilling way to live. You see, if we allow our thoughts and emotions to be controlled by the external events in our life, we end up surrendering a lot. We surrender our happiness, our peace of mind, and our part in the creative process. We surrender the power that we have to overcome our problems. We surrender that power to the physical circumstances around us that are always going to be changing up or down because the universe is always changing. That's kind of like trying to hit a moving target with a bow and arrow while you're riding a unicycle. Okay? It's really, really difficult to do. So, what do we do when we're in that cycle? We don't know what to do. We don't get out. I'm glad you asked. I have an answer. in order to get back the power that we have given away, the power to consciously create the life that we want, we need to understand something. And this is what we need to understand, all right? In every experience in our life, which experience? Every experience in our life, large or small, in everything that we create, either we are actively taking charge of our own thoughts and emotions, or we are busy reacting to everything else. There is no in-between. We're in charge or we're reacting. And this is when a very solid spiritual foundation is the only thing that can help us. This is when we need to remind ourselves consciously, once again, of two things. Number one, that we are an essential part of the process of co-creation. And two, that that process always begins in here. That's what we need to remind ourselves of. I mean, it's a big surprise to some people, especially somebody who hasn't been exposed to this kind of teaching, that life does not have to consist of alternating episodes of agony and ecstasy. All right? Some people are really surprised. They think the Housewives of Atlanta is the way life is. All right? That kind of thing. In fact, our mental and emotional state doesn't have to have anything at all to do with what's going on out there. It does not. Everyone around us can be going crazy, and we can be completely calm and at ease. Try it in traffic. It works like a champ. We can be surrounded by disaster, by divorce, by bankruptcy, by war, famine, pestilence, and the other horsemen of the apocalypse, or anything else, and we can choose exactly how we respond. We can choose how we feel. We can choose to smoothly flow through it. We can choose to laugh or to cry. We can make it as peaceful and as easy as we want. We really, really can. We have that power. We always have our own calm place in the midst of every single storm. This is the power that we have because this is the power that flows through us all the time. It is always there, but we have to choose how to use it. How to use it. There's a story I like. It's a story been around a long time, and it's about the actor Sir Laurence Olivier. Everybody remember him. He had just opened a play. He was at the height of his career. He had just opened a play on Broadway the night before, and the morning after, he was sitting out on his by his pool, eating breakfast, you know, Bel Air or wherever he lives, and drinking a cup of coffee and reading a book. Whatever, and his agent comes running around the corner of the house waving a newspaper, and he says, Larry, the reviews are in, and they are fantastic. What do you think? And Olivier looks up calmly from his book, and he says, I don't read the good reviews, and I don't read the bad reviews. Okay? Very profound, if you think about it. He knew that he always did the best he could on stage. He drew from within to do whatever he did, and that he couldn't do any better, so if it wasn't good enough to make the critics happy, that had nothing to do with him. Until we find an inner contentment, and this is what you'll find in all the mystics of all the different faiths, crossing over every single one of them, until we reach a level of inner knowing and inner peace that is completely separate from what we see as the good and the bad events in our daily life, we will continue to move up and down mentally, emotionally, and spiritually based on outside events. We'll be the puppet, and someone else is going to be pulling the strings. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't appeal to me at all. Or think of it this way. It kind of came to me in a vision, a meditation a number of years ago. It's like somebody sitting on the beach. And the tide starts coming in. And they start running around screaming, oh my God, the ocean's coming in, we're all going to drown. And then 6 hours later, the tide starts going out. And they go, oh my God, the ocean's disappearing, we're all going to die. And every 6 hours, keeps going back and forth, back and forth. It doesn't care about you, but you're being controlled by it. All right? Some people live like that. To be completely at peace in our life, in order to feel completely in control of our thoughts and emotions, we need to stop worrying about where we are in the cycle of life. Life is going to be a cycle. It's going to change all the time. Things can always be better, and things can always be worse. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. The only thing that is truly important is for us to be the moving force in our own life. And, of course, as we move through life, to make sure that the overall movement of our life is forward or upward, or what I like to think of as expanding, constantly expanding, all right? We need to make sure through honest self-reflection that we are growing and evolving and learning. That's what spiritual living should do for us. It's not about what we create, it's about the consciousness we create it with. Big difference, all right? That's where the power lies. That's where the creative process begins. We're never going to have a life without ups and downs. Jesus didn't. Gandhi didn't. Mother Teresa didn't. Dr. King didn't. Read the stories. But what each one of these people who had their act together spiritually, what they did have was a life where they consciously and constantly chose how to live. And they did this by making their own inner choices from their spiritual center. Whether things around them were going well or going badly, each one of them, no matter what was happening outside, each of them achieved their own definition of success, and in the process, they changed the physical world around them, some of them on a magnificent scale. Now, if you think about it, the one thing that all of these role models had in common was they had a sort of, I like the phrase, divine indifference towards what others thought of them. They didn't give a, okay, is the way we would say it today. Same thing, all right? They didn't pay any attention at all to whether things were up or whether things were down. They just kept their mind and their heart focused on what they knew was right in here, and they did the best they could in the present moment to move towards their goal. Sometimes things got better, sometimes things got worse. They weren't always happy. The people around them weren't always happy. They weren't always successful in every single instance. But they were always confident that things were moving in the right direction, that what they were doing was bringing something unique into the world. They were always certain that they were doing something that was in perfect harmony with the mind of God, with the power of life that they knew was expressing itself through them in a better way than ever before. Now, most of us are not trying to change the world, okay? We're just trying to live our lives in the best way we can to bring some love into the world, to bring some love into our life, to reach the end of our days here knowing that our time was well spent. That's really what we're doing, and that's why we want to live a practical spiritual life. But to reach that end, we have to learn not to be distracted by the little things. Remember rule number one, don't sweat the small stuff. And rule number two, it's all small stuff. Remember those? Very, very classic. Or as Oliver Wendell Holmes said much more profoundly, it doesn't matter so much where we stand as much as the direction that we are moving. Very profound. Successful living is not about reaching higher highs. It's about reaching higher lows. You get it? Like this. That's how we want the change to be, where the lows are getting higher and higher and higher. Sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back, okay? It's about knowing that the low periods in our life can actually be a wonderful time for us to re-examine our consciousness so that when things start back up, which they always will, we are that much stronger and more focused on what we want. And those wonderful high periods when everything's going great, as much as we enjoy them, are an excellent time to practice gratitude and humility. Gratitude and humility. But it's also a time when we can practice feeling what it feels like when life is going well. Because when things turn south, as they will on occasion, the best way to get out of that is to allow ourselves to feel in that situation the way we felt when we were on top. That inner confidence, that inner spiritual strength. This is all about being consciously centered. Consciously centered. It's all about appreciating all the different parts of life, however it shows up, the ebb and the flow, the rise and the fall, the ups and the downs. The more we learn to simply accept life for what it is without judging or complaining or criticizing, the more we're going to realize that it truly is all good, because it's all God. It is all God. There's no up and down in the mind of God. And the more enjoyable it's all going to be. It's all going to be. Next week, I'll be talking about the loyal opposition. That's the title. I invite you to be there, because this is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Yeah. Thank you. All right. All right, let's take a moment. Take a breath or two. Take the ideas that resonated with you. I share them with you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let's know this. Life is an incredible experience. Life moves and flows and goes up and down and around, constantly changing this infinite physical variety in this world that is based on the one mind and spirit that I call God. As all this variety changes, I begin to see that I am not a victim of it. I am not controlled by it. I create it. I create my place in the infinite variety, the infinite palette of the universe. And I create that place not by maneuvering myself or maneuvering circumstances. I create that place by knowing the truth. The truth about God, the truth about me, and the truth about the world. As I know that greater truth, that I always have within me the power to choose, that I always have within me the ability to create something different, that calm confidence that I feel with great humility, with gratitude, and with a deep awareness allows me to be present in life with the ebbs and the flows, with life however it goes, to be there and smile and shrug and go, it's all God. It's all God. So I allow myself to remind myself of that constantly. I give thanks when things are going good. I give thanks when they're not. I give thanks when everything happens perfectly. I give thanks when things are falling apart, because I know that the universe is creating a space for something better. And I am ready to step in and create it. So knowing this, I release the fears of a fearful world. I release the false ideas that were taught to me when I was young. I release my reliance on how things are going on the outside, whether I read it in the news, hear it in gossip, or simply am startled by it in my own life. And I allow myself to be at peace as the perfect spiritual creator that I am. This is my truth. I accept this, and I release this truth in consciousness, letting it be true for me from this moment on. And so it is.